Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea. I am joined in studio today by Molly Williams. Hello, Molly.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good to see you again.
You too. We had a nice swim this morning, didn't we?
We did. And you were quite the sport because I had an 8 a.m. business call. And so we had to get in the swim and the drive to and from beforehand.
Yeah, it was a sport because you told me 6:45. I'm like, okay, 6:45, I can do it. And you're like, I'll pick you up at 6:15. I'm like, oh.
And I didn't Trojan horse you. I told you the text originally said 6:45 in the water. And it's about a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, I read it the way I wanted to read it. But it was lovely.
It was. There wasn't quite as much mist rising off the water as perhaps you wanted.
No, there wasn't. But there wasn't too much scum on the water either.
Not too much.
A little bit starting to form.
Yeah, that is the drag about, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer before it gets kind of too scuzzy. Did it ever get too scuzzy for you?
It has in the past. So this is, we think, our fifth year of swimming in the pond up in Vancouver, Washington. And there, last summer, we did not have to take any break. There have been summers when it just got too scuzzy.
But I don't think there's ever been a health warning on that pond.
No, I think there was once.
Okay.
And yeah, and so tell people what is the health warning, because you know better than I do.
Well, I don't know. Was it E. coli, or I don't remember what it was there.
I think that it's because it's an algae.
Oh, I don't think it was the blue-green algae there.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so but that is a problem. But
yeah, problem in the Pacific Northwest, blue-green algae, which is a toxin.
It's a neurotoxin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Twitch, twitch.
Yeah.
Which is why you should take a shower when you come home. I don't know if that makes any difference, quite honestly, but that and those supposed mites that are in the water, which we've never encountered.
Oh yeah, that we don't meet too many people who swim there, but there was that one dude who mentioned that. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Gotta look up water mites. Is that a real thing, or is he making it up, or does he have some condition? I don't know. Right. Maybe he thinks it's water mites.
I did today get kind of a mouthful of water, and I heard your words echoing in my ear of you saying, like, I think you better shower after today's swim. I'm like, psh, 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 I can't keep that in my mouth. You made me laugh so hard on Sunday when we were swimming, we, sort of inadvertently were in the same spot in the pond. And so we were like, hey, hey. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, I get so thirsty when I swim. And you just looked, you said, water, water everywhere. Cause I love a good adage.
A little Giardia never hurt. Well, okay. Never mind. Maybe
right.
It did.
Right.
And then you got a trip coming up.
Yes, where I doubt I'll be swimming because we'll be on the Oregon coast.
You're not going to swim in the ocean on the Oregon coast.
You could. Oh, no, that's really literally taking your life.
Yeah.
So
maybe a pond, right?
Possibly, yes. So we're going to Bandon, Oregon, which is on the southern coast of Oregon. Never been that far south. Avid golfers might know it because it has kind of world famous golf courses that are very expensive. So we will not be golfing. But it's also a really popular retirement destination. Is there, you know, place for retirees to go live. So it has a year round economy. And so a little bit more of a robust downtown than some of the Oregon coast towns do. So I'm super excited. We got a house through VRBO, and it's my husband, Jack, our dog, Augie, because we had to get a place that would take dogs. And then my twins, who just turned 15 last week, and one of their friends who's been in our bubble for quite a while. And it's quite swanky and has Wi-Fi. And so, yeah.
It's going to be nice.
It's going to be very nice.
Yeah. And they just released a movie that was filmed in Bandon called The Rental.
I know, and so I love that you knew that.
Rental in Bandon.
Because the whole plot of the movie, which is the directorial debut of Dave Franco, and so it is about two couples who go, it's a horror movie, did we mention that? And it's about two couples who go to away for a weekend in a rental house and kind of what happens. So I have told the kids about it, even despite the New York Times panning it, we will pay $6.99 on Amazon Prime for it. Watch it while we're in Bandon in a rental house.
That'll be fun.
It'll be very fun. And gosh, the coastline just looks so beautiful from pictures. It has Haystack Rocks, which are, you know, kind of iconic on the Oregon coast. and arches that have been worn away by waves and wind, I'm sure.
And sea caves.
Sea caves. Makes me a little short of breath and panicky to think about.
You'll be fine. It'll be fun to explore. And it's supposed to be the banana belt. So yeah, they get a warmer current through there. So, I mean, you probably don't want to swim, but you probably can get in the water.
Oh, that's interesting.
You might be able to boogie board or something down there.
Wow, check look that at out. That.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's also a lot to see. There's a lot of public art. There's a town south of there that has that pretty much most of the residents of the town help find and pick up debris on the beaches. And then they turn these reclaimed things into large art installations.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, just really cool what I've seen online so far. And then we are going to break up the 4-hour drive. God forbid you drive for 4 hours straight. Go down to Eugene, eat at a restaurant we really like, and then head west to go to Florence, Oregon, which has massive sand dunes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, the kids, not me, going to rent snowboards, and they're going to, sandboard.
Oh yeah, that's so much fun.
Yeah. And there
for
is
kids.
A, yes. Yeah. The last time I was there was when we were in Florence was 5 years ago when I was recovering from my fractured ankle. So yeah, I'm not going back there.
I just imagine the sand rash I would have from falling off that board.
Or on your face. You're motioning at your body. And I'm imagining like my face.
Would
like
you face plant?
Yeah. That would, make lines seem like good things on your face. And then because we will be on the coast, then we'll drive down Highway 1, which hugs the coastline, and go right through Coos Bay, which is the hometown of legendary runner Steve Prefontaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I guess there's a mural that you can see when you're driving north on Highway 1. So my neighbor who grew up near there told me I need to turn around as we're driving out of town to see this massive pre-mural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could also stop at the memorial in Eugene where his crash occurred.
Oh my
goodness.
Since
you're going to be there as well, you could have a whole Steve Prefontaine experience.
Yeah. Maybe I need to find like a podcast or something about Prefontaine. I'm sure there is one.
I'm sure there is one. Have you seen the two movies?
With Jared Leto. Maybe there's a movie I need to watch.
And then there's another one. They're both pretty good.
You've seen both of them?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. True Oregonian.
Miles. Well, yeah. And of course, one of my old clients was one of Steve Prefontaine's suppliers.
Very tactfully stated, Molly.
Eugene,
the look on your face says it was not supplying paper supplies.
It was not paper supplies. It was health and wellness supplies. And he said he was a very nice guy.
Which are now legal.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you have a veterinarian client who has that background. Only in Oregon. So, all right. Well, as you, Molly, and listeners may or may not know, this has been World Breastfeeding Week, which a listener alerted us to. So shout out to Meg. Thank you. So this episode, we are diving into the topic of breastfeeding and running. We're being joined by three guests, one after another, a lactation expert, former elite runner and two-time mom, Tina Muir, then a quote, regular mother runner who has two young kids, or weigh-ins, as they say on most shows that I've been enjoying on Acorn TV, and in Dairy Girls, the show that we love.
Oh, love that show.
The weigh-ins. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. Our first guest is Diane Spatz, PhD, professor of perinatal nursing at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. Dr. Spatz is an active researcher, clinician, and educator internationally recognized for her work surrounding the use of human milk and breastfeeding, particularly in vulnerable populations. We're honored to have Dr. Spatz talk with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's exciting to be here during World Breastfeeding Week and National Breastfeeding Month.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, that is the reason for this. We're excited too. So I like a can-do message whenever it's realistic. So what's the number one piece of encouragement you would give to breastfeeding mother runners?
Absolutely. So I think for mothers who wish to breastfeed and want to continue to be active, the most important message is getting a good start to their lactation experience. Mm-hmm. So that means preparing prenatally and really equipping themselves with lots of knowledge and then really focusing on their breastfeeding experience in the first hour after delivery, the first day, and really the first 2 weeks. Because the first 2 weeks is critical to set a mother up to have a stellar breastfeeding experience for the rest of her time.
So what would be some elements then that would make, you know, those 2 weeks be, you know, prime for having a stellar experience?
Absolutely. So if you are not aware, a mother actually begins to produce milk in her second trimester of pregnancy. So from 16 weeks on, a mother is secreting colostrum, but the hormones of pregnancy prevent that milk from really being leaked out at all. After she has the baby, that triggers the hormones to drop because the placenta is delivered, which tells her body she needs to go from practicing making milk to really performing. A newborn baby's stomach is very tiny. It's about the size of a marble. And so a newborn baby is going to breastfeed every 1 to 3 hours. And mothers will tell you that it feels like the baby is on the breast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the beginning. And that's important because that's what's going to establish a nice, robust milk supply. So I tell families that I work with that their only job for the first 2 weeks as a new mother is to eat, sleep, and make milk for their baby. And everyone else in the family should be doing everything else for that new mother.
That's a good message to hear.
Yeah, very good message. Yeah. I had friends that told me that too when I was a new mother, and just having somebody bring you a glass of water, you know, when you start to nurse, because you always get so thirsty. I thought that was really good advice, you know, just to be able to sit there with your baby and nurse them. I was lucky. I didn't have any trouble, but.
That's fantastic. Well, and also another thing, and since we're in COVID times and people are at home more and socially distancing, you know, I tell mothers if they can be at home and be topless for the first 2 weeks, the more that the baby is skin to skin on the chest, the higher the prolactin levels. And prolactin is the hormone that makes milk. So the more skin to skin contact and the more the baby's at the breast, the more robust the mother's milk supply is going to be.
Oh, yeah, that's great. The whole skin to skin thing, I seem to have missed that 20 years ago. I don't know if it was out there. You did the skin to skin thing.
I did. When I was in the hospital with the twins, I just, when I wasn't breastfeeding them, would sometimes just sit there and let them lay on my chest, you know, with them just wearing little diapers. And
yeah, I held my baby and I did the whole, you know, carrying him around thing, but like, I don't know, the skin to skin thing, somehow we missed it. But anywho, I had 3 kids, breastfed them all, but I wasn't a runner back then. I can't kind of imagine what it would be like being a runner with breastfeeding because, you know, my milkshakes bring all the boys to town. I don't know. What advice do you have for women that are going to strap on a sports bra and go out there and run around?
So I actually have worked with a lot of mothers who are athletes and runners, and the two are absolutely compatible. I think the biggest thing you have to think about is you do need to take some time off work off running after you deliver. And many runners also find it difficult to run in the third trimester. You have a hormone that is released called relaxin, which actually it relaxes that joint muscle and the pelvis so that the baby can be delivered. So some women find it very challenging to run in their third trimester of pregnancy. And then after delivering the child, you definitely want to get cleared by your health professional before you pick your running routine back up. But big key points to think about in terms of having a good breastfeeding and running relationship is, first of all, thinking about nutrition. When you make milk for your child, you're burning an extra 500 calories per day. Mm-hmm. And so you want to think about making sure you're keeping yourself well nourished. Mm-hmm. I like to think about small, frequent meals. I encourage my mothers to have high protein foods and snacks. Mm-hmm. You want to remember to stay well hydrated. As you mentioned, you get thirsty when you breastfeed. You have a thirst response. Mm-hmm. And so keeping that bottle of water handy is always a great idea. The way to know that you are well hydrated is to look at your urine or your pee. Mm-hmm. And if your urine is nice and pale and clear, that means you're getting enough water intake. And then in terms of the actual running, you just want to make sure that you are breastfeeding or pumping before you go out for your run. Mm. So you want to have your breast as empty as possible before you go out on that nice long run. So you can have the baby at breast. And then if you're planning to do a particularly long run, besides breastfeeding, you could also pump after the breastfeeding session just to make sure your breasts are as empty as possible.
Mm-hmm. And is that because of comfort to have them as empty as possible, or is there some medical reason for it? Or
sure, comfort as well as refill time, okay? Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, if you look at how babies breastfeed, there's really interesting research that shows that babies actually don't take all the milk out of the breast when they breastfeed. They leave available milk behind. So babies will breastfeed until they get full, and then they'll just fall off the breast and they'll go to sleep, and they have that beautiful milk drunk look that they get. But there is some milk still left behind. And so if a mother has electric breast pump and she can pump both her breasts at the same time, mm-hmm. she'll get out any residual milk. So she could pump for whatever amount of time until she doesn't see any more jetting of milk. And then she would go for an extra 2 minutes. And that way her breasts would be as dry as they possibly can. Then you think about refill time. So as soon as the breast gets emptied, milk begins to be synthesized or secreted. But it's going to take a little bit of time for those breasts to refill. So the more empty her breasts are at the start of the run, the more comfortable that she's going to be during her entire run.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So the sort of like the way I like to, you know, get your phone battery all the way empty before you recharge it all the way to 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then your baby can sleep too, because you just fed him.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So hopefully a little bit easier on the caregiver who's taking care of the baby. So I trained for my third marathon when my older daughter was a baby. I ran the race when she was 14 months old. And so I vividly remember breastfeeding immediately after walking in the door. You know, I would just strip off my shirt and my sweaty sports bra and just sit there naked from the waist up, covered in salty sweat. I don't know if people still think it, but people are like, oh, your baby's not going to want to drink after you've worked out because the milk will taste funny. And I never saw any of that and then I had twins and I breastfed them. I never saw any of that. So, you know, can you maybe dispel that myth, and then also kind of talk about if like kind of just scheduling it around workouts?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I've actually heard that myth too, mm-hmm. that the babies won't like the taste of the milk because of the lactic acid, but mm-hmm. that is just a myth. Mm-hmm. So there's no research to base that. But the babies, I'm sure, are going to be hungry as soon as you finish, especially if you're training for a marathon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been some great images of runners breastfeeding even during marathon sessions. I've seen women breastfeeding as they're running. So absolutely, The baby can breastfeed either during a running session or immediately after. Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely appropriate to do. And I think, you know, in terms of your timing and your training, it really is going to be dependent upon, you know, what type of race you're training for, whether it's a half marathon, a marathon, how old your baby is. So, you know, it would be a lot easier to train, for example, for a marathon if your baby was over 6 months of age and breastfeeding and eating solid foods as well, versus a 2-month-old baby who would probably still be breastfeeding over 8 times a day. That's going to make your training schedule a little bit more challenging.
Sure. Yeah.
So any advice on sports bras? You know, fit, I don't know, do they make nursing sports bras? Is there a myth that the underwire or too tight bra can cause problems for a lactating woman?
Yeah, so the underwire bras, I am not too much a fan of, because those wires dig in. And I don't know if you know women who wear underwire bras regularly, even not breastfeeding, but underwire bras are pretty uncomfortable.
It's the only thing that will keep my breasts up, and I absolutely hate them.
Yeah, but they're uncomfortable.
And oh, yeah.
If you're a breastfeeding mom and you have those wires digging into your chest, you know, when you think about your milk-making cells, they actually can go all the way back into your armpit area, your axilla. And so if moms have a too tight of a bra or an underwire bra, they can actually cause plugs to happen, and they can get plugged ducts. And then if you're not getting the milk moving, if you have milk stasis, then that could set a mom up to getting a mastitis. And no one wants to have a mastitis, for sure. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they need to have a special running bra, you know, that's a nursing running bra. I just would recommend, you know, a nice supportive soft cut bra, and okay, one that really is encompassing, you know, that whole chest wall area. You know, so many women wear, you know, bras that are too small and or too tight. And so I would just recommend that they look for, you know, a bra that is nice and supportive, a running bra that's nice and supportive, and that they really feel like all of their breast tissue is being held in, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just shopping for that with a new baby is going to be lots of fun. Imagine. I mean, it's hard enough to find a bra when you're one size, but when you're nursing, you know, and your breasts are going up and down and sideways, and you've got a new baby you got to take along to the mall, or I don't know. Bras are tough, aren't they?
I think they're very tough. And I usually tell moms, like when they're pregnant, a lot of mothers want to prepare and like buy lots of bras in advance, or buy, you know, fancy nursing bras. Mm-hmm. I actually tell them, buy one and make sure you like it first. You know, because you don't want to spend all this money. They're also very expensive, right? Yeah. So don't spend all this money until you find something that works for you.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good advice.
One more question about the blockage and stuff. Is that wives' tale or whatever about putting cabbage leaves on your breasts when they're engorged? Do you know that?
So cabbage leaves, people will actually use when they want to suppress lactation. So if a mom, for some reason, did not want to breastfeed, practitioners will say to take a head of cabbage, cut it in half, put the cabbage in the freezer, mm-hmm. and then take the frozen cabbage leaves and mold them around the breast. And so, you know, that would be if moms were choosing not to breastfeed or they didn't want to make milk. For a breastfeeding mom, I would much rather her think about three things when you're talking about getting milk moving. Warmth. Okay, so a warm compress or a warm shower or a warm tub bath. massage. So massaging the breast, especially if there was a plugged area, massaging over that area, and then compression and getting the milk out. So warmth, massage, and compression to get the milk moving.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
Yeah, because I remember running when I had a blocked duct. It seemed like, and oh, that was really just, each step was excruciating.
They hurt. I've had that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Diane. This was really enlightening. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Diane.
It was absolutely my pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Next up is a return guest and popular podcaster on her own. Tina Muir is a former elite runner and host of the Running for Real podcast. After struggling to conceive, Tina is now the mother of two daughters, one of whom was born early on in the pandemic. As she is with everything, Tina is very real in detailing motherhood, including breastfeeding. So I knew I wanted to have Tina on our show again, and this was the perfect opportunity. So thanks for coming back, Tina.
Oh, thank you for having me. And I'm surprised you didn't mention your premonition and your idea to bring me on here when
You
seem to time it perfectly.
Exactly. Yes. That's when you were talking about your infertility, and I was like, yep, you're good. I know it's going to happen for you. So.
Oh, I was referring to recently when you said about this, you said about breastfeeding.
Oh.
You were looking for someone and then you saw a picture of me doing it.
So. Yeah.
I feel like maybe you've got a future in like fortune telling.
Right. I'll hang my shingle out. It'll be my next career.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, she just had a dream about chasing somebody up a snow-covered hill. So let's hope it's not fortune telling. I don't know.
Yeah, that might be a bit concerning.
Well, welcome, Tina. So tell us about your kids. How old are they? You've got a newborn, huh?
Yeah, I have a two-month-old who actually was on my chest until about 2 minutes ago. Aww. I was going to try and record with her on there because she was asleep.
Mm.
But then I got paranoid that she was going to, you know, I don't know if anyone has ever recorded or maybe even had a phone call with a baby on them. And then sometimes your voice just saying, hello, it like shocks them awake. And I was like, that's not what I want. So I panicked and threw her at my husband, basically. But yeah, I have a two-month-old and a two-year-old. So yeah, they're both very young. Aww. And I do feel bad for my husband right now, having to put one down for a nap while the other one is on his chest, but he'll handle it.
He'll manage. Yeah. So Tina, where's your running right now? We know you won the 2019 Walt Disney World Half Marathon, so not too long before you got pregnant with Chloe, but where are you right now with a two-month-old?
Yeah, I continued to kind of just test things out with the rest of that year until I did get pregnant again, but just kind of exploring, and I did like some mile races, and I did just random 5Ks. And I was actually thinking about doing some kind of traily stuff or just some interesting stuff. But we did know we wanted to have another child pretty close to Chloe, to Bailey, or as close as we could. And so I was aware that it was never going to be a comeback year or a year to prove anything. But then once I did get pregnant, I kind of did what I could with a lot more freedom this time mentally. I'm sure you've talked about this, but it's very strange with how pregnancy affects your body. And I found it really hard the first time around to get out of the mindset of I had to do an hour to make it worthwhile. Mm. So I really kind of last time around was like, I've got to do an hour every day. Even if it was run, walk, I didn't care.
Mm.
Whereas this time it was kind of like, you know what? I don't feel like going today. I'm not, or this didn't feel right. So I'm just going to rest. And so I was a lot more kind to myself this time around. And I appreciated that about myself. And towards the end, I just did walks. And I actually really enjoyed being out there walking, especially as it's humid here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And I'd see the other runners, you know, with their red faces and like sweating and really struggling to breathe in the humidity. And I kind of enjoyed seeing that and thinking like, you know what, I'm quite comfortable right now. So then I ended up taking 2 months off total, including the postpartum time off, and about 2.5 months, I think, actually. And then I started running around the usual, I think it was 5.5 weeks.
Mm.
And now I'm kind of experimenting. I don't have any plans. I'd like to do, like I said before, some trail running. But right now I'm kind of letting it come to me. And, you know, with no races on the agenda for anyone, or very few people, it's kind of nice to be able to just kind of let my body heal as it wants to.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. So last month you Instagrammed a photo of you breastfeeding Chloe, and the start of the caption read, "The reality of a breastfeeding mom." Without giving it all away, tell us a bit what your reality is as a breastfeeding mom.
Yeah, I like that you said the mom part as well, not mom, because I just can't bring myself to call myself a mom yet. But yeah, I wanted to put that out there because it kind of is. I mean, I heard you talking for the first part of this episode about you know, the baby being hungry when you return from your run, and that kind of is it. Everyone is very aware that the mother is totally dictated by the newborn, the child, in those first few months, and that kind of is how it is. And you just try and sneak it in whenever you can. And so for me, that meant getting up early, and thankfully I do have a good sleeper, so I can do that. But getting up early and then coming back, and unfortunately for my husband, she had woken up about 2 minutes after I left the house, and so he had to wait 45 minutes with her kind of getting more and more angry and wanting a feed. And you know, babies don't care if you're sweating, so immediately when I walked in the door, pretty much put a towel behind me, put a towel next to me to wipe the sweat away, and then just sat down and fed her, because yeah, she doesn't care about anything really except for getting what she wants, which is some breast milk. So yeah, that's kind of the reality I'm living in. And most days she doesn't wake up that early, but that's kind of the risk you take, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And is that the agreement you have with your husband, that he will not text you? I mean, I guess some partners might have texted him, been like, "You got to come home. She's up. She's crying."
Well, he does track me, not in a in a creepy way, but we both have that Find My Friend app thing. Mm-hmm. So he can see where I am. But that day I had not taken my phone. So he had no idea where I was. But I don't think he would have done that anyway, just because, yeah, he's a runner himself and knows how important it is to have that time to yourself. And a mother already has enough kind of ties to the child anyway to give them that little bit of time where they can just be free is important, I think. Mm-hmm.
Do you let him give her a bottle, or do you have him wait so that she's ready to eat when you come home?
We do give one bottle a day where I pump, just because we did that with my first daughter, Bailey. And we found it worked quite well for bonding, just giving time where they can spend some time together. So we do that once a day, and we might rotate it. It kind of depends on when she wakes in the night. So we don't have like a set schedule. Like this morning, she woke at 4:20, I think. And so I just fed her then. And then we did a bottle the next time around. But then had she woken earlier in the night, we might do a bottle earlier in the morning. So it really depends.
In the few times I would leave my babies when they were little and my husband had them, you know, he would, if they started crying, he'd put his pinky finger in their mouth, you know, to let them suck on that. I'm sure everybody does that, you know. So I'd come home, you know, he's holding the baby finger in the mouth, so I'm so glad you're home. Here you go. Held out as long as we could.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the worst thing would be like if he did give him a bottle and like I'm ready to feed and then they're not ready to feed, I'm like, now, you know, you could pump it all, of course, but there's nothing more lovely than feeding your baby, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Although I don't know if for me, I've had a lot of, I don't know if this is something you intend to talk about, but I have an overactive letdown. So it comes out so fast and sprays her in the face if she's not get on it quick enough. So a lot of the time it's actually quite stressful for me in the first few minutes trying to like, you know, get her to where she can actually not drown in it.
I had the same thing. And then the opposite breast would be so bad, I had to take a kitchen towel and stick it in my bra to like soak up all the milk that was coming out. Or then eventually, I took an ice cube tray. And I held it under the other breast to collect the milk. And then I could freeze them, you know, put them in the bag.
Wow.
It was all over the place. And one time I was at work and I let down and it just like soaked everything.
Did you have an ice cube tray with you?
No.
Without Molly Lloyd's ice cube tray.
I didn't have a clean shirt. I didn't have anything. I had to borrow somebody's smock. I mean, it was a whole nightmare. And that was 20 years ago. And, you know, 20 years ago, things weren't terrible, but they weren't as good as they are now. And like, to like get a break to pump was not really something you did. So, you know, I'd have to like run in the bathroom when I had some appointment, a slow appointment or something like that, and try to like get it all out. You know, there was no, anyway. Ugh. Times are better now, but I hear you on the lactation. You know those little pads you put in your bra to collect the milk? Yeah, I just laughed at those. Those little discs. It's like, give me a break.
It's like
put
a, diapers a panty down in liner there. Yeah, instead of a full pad.
Anyway. Oh, where are we?
You're, okay, I'm going to stop laughing. And
all right. So, given how much women runners rely on your candid in the trenches advice on a variety of topics, what type of encouragement or insight do you give to new mother runners who might be struggling with returning to running while trying to breastfeed their baby?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that I can think of is the sports bra situation. I mean, it doesn't, even if you don't have particularly large breasts, they're going to be a lot bigger than you're used to. I mean, even people who have, you know, A or A cup or even smaller, are now going to be having a size that they're not used to and not having used to having any movement. And all of a sudden you've got movement. With my first daughter, I went from like a C to to an E. And so for me, that was just, you know, running even with the best sports bras on the market still weren't, wasn't ideal. And I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to negotiating how you're going to run with that. And just as you said about when you've been on a run, there's all that time that they're filling up. So they're getting heavier as you go. So I think finding a good sports bra, I think is definitely the biggest thing I would say, and paying for it. Unfortunately, you know, getting a good sports bra is expensive, but those, you know, Target sports bras or the, you know, the cheaper ones that you may be able to get away with in other times, you're not going to be able to do it during this period of life. And it is annoying having to pay money for something that you know you're probably going to use for half a year. And they're constantly changing. I remember speaking to someone at Brooks once, and she said, I think she said something about a woman's breast size changes, I think it was 20 or so times. Like, she goes through 20 or so sizes throughout the kind of going up and going down of getting pregnant and breastfeeding. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember exactly, but it was a ridiculous amount of sizes that a woman changes through. So it is a tricky situation, but you know, you can always pass those bras on to friends to use. And so that's the number one thing I would say. The number two thing I'd say is the calories, making sure you're eating enough, particularly with my background of not having a period. I'm very, very aware of that. But also on the other end of that, it's okay if you are ravenous. I think a lot of people hear that, you know, myth of the pounds just fall off if you're breastfeeding. And then when people think they add running in there, they just assume, oh, I'm going to lose this weight like that. But I found that I was so, and this time too, I'm so hungry all the time that I actually am not even losing weight, but I maybe even am gaining weight because I'm just so hungry. So to give yourself grace with that, if you are really hungry all the time. And then thirdly, the hydration thing, particularly in the summer, we lose, you know, you're always thirsty anyway while breastfeeding, but once you add in the running and the sweating and the humidity, it's hard to get enough water in. And I quite often find myself waking up in the night just like I could drink a whole bottle of water just in 10 seconds. So staying hydrated is another thing I think I'd add.
Hearing you talk about that are just reminding me of things that I just haven't thought about in so many years. Being so hungry.
Oh, so hungry.
Oh my gosh, just like anything. Oh my gosh. And then, like you say, just being so parched. And I always start each breastfeeding session by drinking a huge cup of water, which doesn't sound, but they give you those huge plastic cups at our hospital. With the straws, which, I mean, are going to be, you know, they're never going to degrade in a landfill.
They're going right up a turtle's nose.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this thing to good use and just glug, 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 glug before I would drink. And that, for me, that would help with my letdown as well. So, so, you know, as a former elite runner, Tina, you know, I'm thinking maybe, you know, some next level things about nutrition or hydration. Like, are there any kind of food choices you make, like high protein snacks or things that kind of really hit that, that, you know, quell that ravenous feeling? Do you have any secrets like that?
Well, I think the key is when you can. One thing that we haven't mentioned with having kids, especially more than one, is it's easy to neglect yourself, to say, I just don't have the time right now. But, you know, it's okay for it to be just little things here and there. I quite often grab a handful of nuts just walking past, because that's something I can quickly shove in my mouth and chew down while I'm doing something else. But then also, I think I like to make sure that evening meal for me is full of as much nutritional and nourishing foods as I can. Although it's difficult to try and cook when you are trying to juggle this, I found that that was a way to connect to my kind of old life, and a way to feel a bit more normal was to have that time to cook a meal and make sure that it's got lots of, you know, high quality things, having things like salmon and sweet potatoes that are going to help with recovery of not just the running, but the repairing of, you know, the internal damage that you've done. So I tried to make sure of that, because for me, breakfast in particular, I'm not that great at getting foods in right now, just because the morning has a lot of things going on. And then I think mostly for me, it's not really kind of probably what you're after, but I think the biggest thing that I'd probably tell women is more just give yourself a break. Like, I find myself that nasty voice that we all have saying to me, you're supposed to be eating healthy, you want to be, you know, getting your body to a good place, not so much like fit and lean, but just kind of like a healthy place. How is your body going to do that when you're reaching for the snacks, the chips and the candy and stuff? But sometimes it's okay to do that during a stressful period of your life. So I think I would say the biggest thing is kind of the opposite, which is to give yourself some kindness. And by all means, if you can eat those foods that are nourishing, and you can get like a takeout salad, if you can't make it for yourself, or getting things that, having a smoothie, that's another thing I like to do quite a lot, is packing a smoothie with like kale and spinach, and then whatever fruits and vegetables and some milk to make it, you get some calcium in. So I like to do that. And then finally, Generation Nucan, I'm a big fan of them with their bars. I just go through them like crazy, because they're nice and easy to grab when I can't grab anything else.
Nice. Well, thank you for sharing with us, Tina. And we just love seeing pictures of you and the babe, mom and babe on your Instagram. So thank you for sharing those and your time today. All right. Take good care.
Bye. Thank you. You too.
To round out our conversation, I wanted to hear from a quote unquote regular mother runner. She is Megan Carney, a mom of two and a financial analyst for Parks and Recreation in Arlington, Virginia. Megan is a trail runner and a triathlete who, quote unquote, dabbles in bike racing. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Megan. What are the ages of your kiddos?
I have a just over to a 26-month-old and a almost a 5-month-old, a 4.5-month-old.
Aww.
Yeah, a little one.
Yeah. So you had your second baby right at the beginning of the COVID stuff.
Yeah. She was born March 12th. So it was, we went into the hospital, everything was normal, and we came out under lockdown orders. So it was a good start.
Were your parents able to visit, or was that a problem for you?
My mom and my sister were here taking care of my toddler when we came home from the hospital. And then unfortunately we didn't see him again for a few months. It became a blessing. The first 2 weeks was very emotional. You felt like the world was just cut off from you.
Yeah.
But then it became this real blessing because we didn't have to worry about childcare because I was on leave anyway, and really upped the parenting game with the help of some Amazon orders, figuring out how to take care of the toddler with the newborn.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's good for you. That could be a stressful time. It's nice to have help around, and you didn't have it, but Sounds like
my husband had, he was working upstairs and he had this rule that if he heard two of the three of us crying, he should probably come downstairs.
That's a good rule. One, okay. Two, think about it. Three, time to head on down.
Three, there's a major problem.
So tell us about your running background, including where you are now, just these few months postpartum.
Yeah, so I started running as just that all multi-sport athlete when I was just an elementary school kid. I didn't realize that running was its own sport until I joined high school cross country. And I was like, oh, you can like just do this as its own thing. I was also like a really, really big basketball player. And so I've always just run. I started triathlons back in high school, which was 20 some years ago. Wow. And very early days of the triathlon world. Mm-hmm. And so I started just kind of kept running the whole way through. Triathlon was my attempt at first to kind of ease the pressure off my knees. And I love staying in shape. I love all the teams you can join. I'm a member of many Happy Miles now. I love joining teams and the collaborative and the social aspect of it. Nice. And recently, I've really enjoyed trail running. If I had the time / I didn't have the children, I'd probably be doing more mountain biking, that kind of thing. But now if races existed, I would be hitting the trails now. I was very lucky with both my pregnancies. I was able to run up until about 36 weeks and still able to stay active, but the running just couldn't happen then. Mm-hmm. And I was able to start running again 6 weeks after, of course, like time permitting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we first connected about you being a guest on this episode, mm-hmm. you told me you would breastfeed your older child in the car before and after races. So take us back to those days. Remind us what it's like to be at a race and crouched in the back seat of your car or the front seat of your car.
Oh, the days that we could race.
Yeah.
There's this great trail riding series where I live that is very low key and you can run 5 or 10 miles. And we would just go and my husband would take the kid, but I knew I always have to I wanted to top the baby off because you never want to leave your partner with a hangry child, especially, and I didn't want to pump. I hate pumping. Mm. I think many working women would agree and even women who have to pump as an alternative. So to pump, to give my husband a bottle was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. I already have to pump 1,000 times for work. So I would literally just lift up my sports bra in the car, shove the baby on, and then put him back down. And I hate to tell him this later, but I did it after races too. Mm-hmm. Sorry, buddy. But he didn't seem to mind. He's very robust, healthy child. So he didn't seem to mind that I was a little sweaty.
Oh, but it's all a part of mom. I mean, I just think, you just think back to a baby and they just love every single essence of you. So so what? It's part of mom. It smells like mom. This is all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just wants to eat. He's an 80 to 90% kid in terms of his weight. So he's just like, I just want to eat. I don't care what it's like today.
So given that you were training and doing races while your older child was still breastfeeding, I imagine you have some good advice about staying nourished and hydrated to produce milk. What were your tricks?
Yeah. So I heard you at the last speaker, I get incredibly thirsty, the minute I'm about to have a letdown and I'm sitting here beside my empty water bottle, which is 32 ounces. And then I realized I had opened my toddler sippy cup and was chugging his water. I was pumping right before this podcast. So I get incredibly thirsty when I'm breastfeeding. So staying hydrated is oddly not a problem for me. It's the annoying part on the other side of that is the constant having to go to the bathroom every time I stand up. I have to, but that's just, the running world is forgiving of all that kind of things. So in races, the typical postpartum issues with running and being extremely hydrated, just bring a change of clothes and carry on.
Very good. That's so funny. It took me a moment to realize where you were going with that. And I see that I'm thinking perhaps you always wore black bottoms. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. One time I changed my shorts so fast before the husband and the baby even got to me. He's like, how did you do that? I was like, this is what women do.
Oh, that's awesome. So now that you have a young baby again, tell us how you quote unquote manage feedings with working out and working, I realize it's, you know, a little more free form because your boss isn't right there breathing down your neck, or maybe you're the boss and so you're not having to breathe down people's necks. But, you know, like, do you wait for your daughter to wake up naturally to feed her, then head out the door to get in a few miles? You know, it's just, there's just not any predictability, as we know, with a new baby. Yeah. So how are you managing it all?
In my perfect world, when the baby wakes up in the early hours, I then gently lay her down, go for a run.
Are the birds twittering at this point?
Yeah. The sun is coming up. I can socially distance because no one's around. Shower before my toddler wakes up. And then, of course, you know, when they go to bed, do yoga and read books. But not being the perfect world, I haven't, you know, my daughter woke up at 4 this morning. I nursed her and I was like, should I go out now? Is that even safe right now? I'm in a semi-urban, semi-suburban area. It's nice. There'll be no people around. Or should I get like that extra hour of sleep because she's been waking up every 2 hours? So right now, my children thankfully are brilliant at going to bed. So I have every evening after 7 o'clock, I either like finish up work or then I can go for my run. Gotcha. So yeah, so as long as I can keep that motivation up for 7 o'clock, and my husband and I try to keep each other motivated. He likes to bike on a trainer, which is great because that means he's here so I can leave. But as long as it's not too hot, I do try to get it in the evenings as best as possible. And then the weekends, I never wanted to be the stroller mom. I always told myself, I was like, no, when I have kids, I will make that time for myself. Like, what's 45 minutes, right? I didn't get it. But when I had my son, it was easy. You know, it's just one kid. I can leave. He obviously, you know, leaving him with his dad wasn't even a thing. I can go and get my 45 minutes in, an hour here, go meet my sister for a trail run in the park. It's the second kid has provided a bit of more of a scheduling challenge. And I find that now I'm looking forward to the stroller running on the weekends with my son. It's our only one-on-one time. So
that's
nice. I have to wait for my daughter to wake up because she likes to sleep in the morning hours and not in the night hours. So wait for her to wake up, grab her, feed her, and literally hand her to dad.
Good deal. And so did you end up running at 4 in the morning?
Not this morning. I did.
No.
I have. And I take my dog to pretend that that's some kind of like safety measure. But
yeah. I think all the criminals go home at 3. They get tired. Yeah.
One time when I was running after nursing at like 4, I think it was like 4:30. I did see this man just passed out on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in that urban area. I was like, huh, I wonder if I should do something about that. So I did wake him up and help him scoot on his way.
Oh, that's thoughtful of you. See, here, if we did that in Portland, we'd be...
We'd never get anywhere.
We shouldn't laugh. Yeah. No, yeah.
No, no. Yeah. There's always this fear, right? That I'm going to come home to like a screaming child. And my mom was visiting this weekend and, you know, put the baby down for the nap. And she said, you should go for your run now. And it was 100 degrees, 90% humidity. I'm like... This is my chance. This is my chance. I'm going to do it. I'm too tired to go tonight. So I did. I went outside and I came home and my mom is hushing my crying child. And I took her sweaty and upstairs and put her back down to sleep.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I can't believe you went out when it was 190% humidity. That is badass. Yeah. Way to go.
Unless your mom's trying to kill you. But then maybe she thought better of it after the kids were crying. Oh, glad she survived.
No, she knows how important it is. I mean, once you get that used to that, you know, you're used to that running. Something is better than nothing. Before having kids, I would have never thought 30 minutes was a workout. Like, oh, why bother changing clothes?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, that was awesome. I got a whole 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's great. And you're doing something for yourself. The best advice I got when I had kids was lower your standards. And I'm like, in what? Everything. You know, exercise, nutrition, hygiene, romance, just crossboard, just lower them.
Yeah. On days I don't run, I say like breastfeeding is like 500 calories, right? Does that count? I'm counting it today.
Yeah.
I don't know if that 500 calories is right, but that's like the rumor that goes around all the websites. It's about 5 miles. I'm like, that's not 500 calories.
Our first guest said you need about 500 extra calories a day. So okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So you probably have some big boobs these days, huh?
Yeah.
And what are you doing for bras?
So I, people ask me this all the time when they know that I'm running and working out. Mm-hmm. And I use my regular ones. You know, I've had to change the sizes, and I continue to have to change the sizes on them. Uh-huh. But there's no good nursing sports bra. It's not worth it. I prefer the comfort of my own regular sports bra that I know fits me. And then if I have to nurse, like, you know, I'll just lift it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Brooks makes like a sports bra that can pull down, and that just didn't fit me right. So I use what the same, you know, I think they like, I have a whole mix of them of, I think mostly Nike bras that just, they just fit me well pre-pregnancy. So I just sized them up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not worth it to try to find it, make a nursing bra fit a sports bra. Just not, mm-hmm. It's not the same for running.
You don't do underwires?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, the previous mm-hmm. guest was saying how they pinch and they hurt, and I would agree with that. So good for you. Yeah.
I think one person on the website said he was like, just double them up. So I would take that woman's advice too, before I would try to like find some kind of nursing bra contraption that would fit. They're starting to make them though. I have noticed in between two pregnancies that they're getting better. They're realizing that, you know, postpartum women are active. So it seems like more products are coming.
It is true. That is true. But I personally never saw the need for a nursing bra because, like you said, I mean, when I would get home, I would just strip down naked, you know, from the waist up, and, you know, before I would go out, I would be the same thing. So, I mean, I realized, yeah, I guess if I were to stop, if I was pushing a stroller, I would probably just push my bra up or something, or maybe get one of those front zip ones. Yeah. Yeah. My philosophy is people are always more embarrassed to see what you're showing than you are to show it. So, you know,
once you get the baby on the breast, you can't see anything anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not that interesting to see. If I saw a woman with a stroller who just stopped in the park to breastfeed, I mean, that woman, you need to high five her.
Right. Right. Go over and offer her some fresh water or something like that. Not from a sippy cup perhaps, but.
Yeah, the sippy cup I'm finding doesn't hold too much.
Right. where are the other 30 ounces? Come on. So, all right, Megan, any parting words of wisdom, you know, some been there, done that advice for pregnant or breastfeeding mother runners?
So I think what has been really, really helpful for me is like the support of your partner. My husband knows that my workout has to take priority in our house. Mm-hmm. For my mental health, but also because I do have to time it with the nursing. I mean, I saw a website that showed like the stress of a breastfeeding working mom, and it's, you know, you're pumping all day, you're nursing all evening, morning and night. And so he knows that if I have an opportunity to get a workout in, then he's got the kids or he's going to do something else while I do that. And he's got to kind of work around mm-hmm. my schedule. And I think that he knew that going into it. So that's really helpful if you can get your partner on board to kind of understand that you're committed to the breastfeeding. So therefore, like, you're on more of a time restriction than they will ever know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Because there's also with actually the baby being right there, it's different than when you're pumping. Like if you were in an office, you know, you can always be like, oh, I'll just pump after this phone call or after I finish this spreadsheet. And if it's a squawking baby, it's like, no, now. Everything has to stop now. And it's time to feed the baby now.
Yes, so. I've literally made dinner while holding her. Like, nurse, you only do that for your second. I would have never done that for my first. But for the first, you're on the couch with your feet up and water and snacks. And for the second, it's just like,
what's a little splattered tomato sauce on their head? It's all good.
The dog will lick it up.
Right. Oh my goodness. Megan, you have been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Take good care.
I really appreciate you too.
All right. If you're looking for a supportive community where you can get answers for your questions about things like breastfeeding and running or any other running related concerns, be sure to like our Facebook page, which is, you guessed it, called Another Mother Runner. No question is too basic or TMI. Again, find us on Facebook at Another Mother Runner. Our podcast today was produced in Portland, Oregon by Alex Ward from Sounds Like Pictures. Many happy miles.